All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Yo Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We've got a fun one for you this afternoon. We're going to get very creative a little bit later on. If you heard the show yesterday, you might know where that's leading. We've got a golf tournament going on. We've got bunch of audio out of the Maple Leafs that we're going to get to here momentarily. The Raptors with another close loss against a good team on the road. How are we feeling on a Thursday afternoon?
I was shocked this morning when I saw a post from someone I know named Noodles, and all it was just Wordle, just a Wordle update. I was shocked to the core. Well, I didn't know how to take it, and I don't know if that was a joke or you got involved with it last night and you actually really enjoy it and you wanted to share it with the world. But we'll get into that later because we're having a Wordle contest. You got to guess five-letter words to describe some sports situations.
Yeah, we're going to put a sports spin on it, right? Like, it doesn't have to be about what is actually going on with Wordle right now. And we're not going to be going down that road. We're going to put our own little creative spin. But I knew Noodles would come around on it. And I think he's probably hooked. And
no,
I think
not.
You're in. I think you're in.
Here's the thing. I'm not in. I said yesterday on this show I thought it was ridiculous that people post their results. Okay, so I am on the hook for that. But I also said I'm going to try it. So I tried it. I don't see what the big deal is. Like, I'm not hooked. I don't care about it. I was like, all right, it's a, you know, a
why don't you just say it? It's ridiculous and stupid.
I know, but it killed a little bit of time. It does.
I
will say that. It killed, 5 to 7 minutes, whatever, right. I was, like, messing around in my head trying to figure it out. Like, it is neat. I just expected more. I was like, is this it? Like, this is,
no,
and you get
less.
It once a day. Like,
yeah,
it's actually
less. It's so way less than anyone actually believes until you do it. But yeah. I'm glad you did it. You're a man of character. You're a man with a soul. You're not a robot, Noodles. You're a man of character and a man of soul.
Well, I just said I would try it. I tried it. It's not number one on my depth chart. I won't be waiting for 12:01 tonight to try it. Like, if it's there, I'll do it. But I just thought it was funny because the grappler's like, are you going to do it? And I said, yeah, I'll do it. But I was, like, busy last night. I did SportsCenter and stuff like that. So I woke up this morning, and I'm, you know, you're killing some time. And I did it, and I sent you guys, I think, the finished product.
Yeah, the result, and now it's out there. And
I tweeted
knows.
It, and I thought it was funny because people are like, oh, my God. Like,
I got some
responses from people saying, don't be a nerd. And then the other people were supportive of it and sent me theirs.
I like the idea that the grappler is peer pressuring you into this. This is the old person equivalency of testing out smoking when you're a kid. You know, are you going to try it? Give it a shot. Try Wordle out. And that's how we roll. And the grappler's pushing it. So anyway, we'll get to that later on. We'll have something cooking in terms of Wordle in the sports world. Our buddy Graham Dillette later this hour. Mike Johnson will be on the show today. And the Leafs did it again last night, didn't they? Up 2-0, up 3-1. They find a way to blow a lead. The difference is they didn't find a way to win the game or at least get a point in overtime. And Sheldon Keefe was really not
happy.
It
was hot, eh?
That is a grenade after the game. I mean, this is consistent. This is a pattern. They're blowing leads, and they're doing it against good teams at Colorado, Vegas, St. Louis, and the Rangers. Now, all four are playoff teams. All four are legit teams, but the Leafs are a legit team, right? Like, if this was a bottom-feeding team, you'd say, well, moral victory. We got off to a good start. We got to clean some stuff up. We have known the overarching conversation this whole season is going to be, what does this team learn right now that they can apply come the playoffs? What have they learned the past 5 years of playoff failure? How are they going to change the way that they operate? And I think that's what we witnessed from Sheldon Keefe post-game last night. Why don't we play the clip? I'm sure a lot of people have heard it, but if you haven't, this is what Sheldon Keefe had to say about his team defense last night, their general mood, attitude, approach to the game, and why they lost.
I just thought we played soft and we made poor decisions defensively. We couldn't sort anything out. I just thought it was just far different. Like each game has been different, so it's hard to talk about patterns other than the obvious in that we've been giving up leads. But I just thought we got exposed today for being a team that was just soft and purposeless and just kind of playing the game and just hoping it was going to work out.
He can say those comments, Hazy, but I'll tell you what. I always look, and it's just kind of one of those things when you have to watch so many games. When the puck goes in the Toronto Maple Leafs net, guess who's kind of skating by the net afterwards? It's the young defensemen that are digging that puck out of the net. And if you look with Dermott and Sandin, as much as we love what he does offensively, and Liljegren, over the past three or four games, if you look at the mistakes, some of the games I've done and some of them I haven't, it's all the same stuff. And you look at last night, leaving Chris Kreider ahead, like alone in front of the net, two young defensemen just sleeping out there. Backhand pass in your own zone by Liljegren, can't happen. Can't happen, ends up on the back of the net. They were getting crushed on the forecheck every time one of those young defensemen, I don't even consider Travis a young defenseman anymore. He's been around long enough where when it goes in the corner, it shouldn't be automatic possession time for the other end. I thought the forwards were okay last night, and I'm sure the D-man will probably say, you know what, they didn't support us a lot. But the young defensemen out there, they got torched last night. They got absolutely destroyed and ripped apart on the score sheet, and that was the reason. And that's why Jack Campbell has to explain himself that I got a battle and I'll be better. And the forwards have to explain why there weren't intensity. If your defensemen are going back there and coughing up the puck like that and missing assignments and throwing backhand saucer pizzas up the middle, you can't win. You can't compete. And it was an opportunity for those kids to say, maybe we could stick around and play a higher role. They proved right now, or they proved last night that they're not ready for that. Well, as if we're going to look at it a one-game sample size. It was horrible, and they cost them the game. That was the whole game. Every goal.
I agree there was turnovers. I think Sheldon points to the fact that anytime there's a team that plays physical, they play different. That's the way I saw it last night. Physicality, they don't like it. Especially at the back end, you know, you like Muzzin's a guy you miss back there. You know why? Because he can handle his own and he's physical and he can wear other teams down. That's the one thing I noticed is you have to have guys that can push back physically. And the forwards aren't absolved of this either. There are some guys that skate around with egg jerseys on because they don't want to break them. Like you need to push back on teams. Like Ryan Reeves was the boogeyman out there. Like that fourth line.
Had a field day.
Listen, there's lots of mistakes, and this is one game. I don't want to get crazy about this because, yes, they've given away some leads. This is a good team that just has a little reset here, and you need to learn some lessons along the way. But there are some things that, St. Louis is a team that plays physical. The Colorado Avalanche, they've got some big guys that play physical. You have to be able to, it doesn't matter how big you are. I talk about Andre Cache all the time. He's a guy who can handle physicality because he pushes back too. There's other players that just don't get involved in those 50-50 battles. They take different routes to the puck. They, you know, hey, I don't want to absorb this hit to make the play. It's small details, and it adds up. And again, I'm not going crazy about it because I think that there are small adjustments that could be made, especially when the intensity gets pushed up. But I thought when the physicality gets ramped up, you could see some guys disappear.
Yeah, and that's generally the big boys. I mean, you reference a couple of guys that are on the Rangers or on St. Louis or on Colorado, and they can be matched on the Leafs. Like Kyle Clifford played last night, right? Like Wayne Simmonds is out there, and you've got a couple of guys who are willing to throw their body around and are not shy from it. But I think it's more about the mindset of your best players. And I've been preaching this for quite some time just because it's factual. The core players on this team, they all have the exact same disposition. They play the exact same way in terms of their mood and attitude. They never snap. They're never angry. And I wonder how much of that commentary from Keefe after the game was not actually about the physicality of being soft. It was the mentality of being soft. The approach to the game when there's more of a pushback. Because you know he's been hammering home. In Colorado, you blew a lead. In Vegas, you blew a lead. In St. Louis, you blew a lead. Now you're up 2-0 and 3-1. And, everything you said is 100% accurate.
Yeah.
Like, the second and third pairing got roasted last night.
Roasted, it was a clinic.
And when Ryan Reeves scores on you twice, and he hasn't scored all year, that will drive a coach absolutely insane insane because that guy should not – you can't – like, listen, he's wide open in front. Good for him. He gets it off quick. He scores. The second one, he kind of got lucky. It got tipped up, but he won a battle. He won the battle on Sandin. He got the puck off, and it finds the open net under the bar and in. But when Reeves scores on you twice, that's going to drive your coach nuts. But sure. I just wonder if it's more about the fact that you don't see any difference in attitude or mood. You know, like you go down 4-3 and it's just, it's grab me a water bottle. What are we doing here, coach? Like if there's Marner, Matthews, Nylander, Tavares, Riley, they're all just the same. You know, the way that they're built. And that's not going to change in the playoffs.
I know.
So I don't know what Sheldon Keefe can expect from that standpoint.
The conundrum with this team is they just ripped off a streak of what? What was it, like 20 and 4 or something? Or 20 and 6?
Yeah, 21 and 25 or something like that.
So none of this comes up during that streak. We're like, oh, they're one of the best teams in the league. They're playing great. They're playing great. And when they stumble a bit, look at the Islanders. Like, what would Leafs Nation and we be doing if we were the Islanders? We would be going up and down this team. So you can't really fly off the handle. And it is one thing where you're like, this team, sometimes if you go to practice after a bad loss like that, you're like, man, shouldn't they be doing some battle drills? And you know what they're doing? They're doing skill development. So that's where it's like, what is it?
That's on Keefe then. You know, that's on Sheldon Keefe. He makes the call on what you're going to do at practice. And I don't know how you change the stripes, you know, is what I'm saying. Because what happened last night makes no difference on who they are as a high-quality team that's going to the playoffs. That's who they are. That's what they are. And they'll get right back onto the horse. And I didn't think they played poorly last night overall. Like the second and third pairings got roasted. They had some awful defensive breakdowns.
Right.
Noodles, you were doing it on SportsCenter last night. There were times there were like 3-4 guys staring at the puck on the sideline.
They got puck focused.
Puck focused, and you can't have it. But Biega's not going to be playing for you. And when Muzzin and Hall return, and if they acquire someone, if not multiple pieces at the deadline, I don't think Liljegren's going to be playing. And I'm not sure Hall's going to play come the playoff time. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But I think the let's be honest here, in my opinion anyway, you tell me if I'm wrong, my only concern come playoff time is the intensity, is when it does get tough, which is what you're touching on, Noodles, is, you know, the moment. Are they going to react if they go – what happens if they go down 2-0 in a series? Do you picture this team battling back the way that they've proven that they have difficulties doing that in the past in terms of just saying,
know,
you know what, forget it,
night,
we're pissed and we're not taking this?
Right, I understand what you're saying, but last night when Liljegren and Sandin leave Chris Kreider out in front of the – wide open in front of the net, is Nylander supposed to go over the boards and run somebody over the next shift?
Of course not.
You're right.
Like,
that's what I just don't understand. Last night those defensemen put everybody on the team in a position to have to answer questions and comments like yourself, Hayes, where it's like, what are we doing here? Are we breaking down what happened last night, or do we so-called got to fix the stripes on this team? Like, is there overreaction because 2 or 3 guys last night, every time they stepped on the ice, they couldn't make a pass, they couldn't win a battle, and they cost them the hockey game?
Well, I see what you're saying, but what was – those guys weren't playing – you know, Alex Biega wasn't playing in Colorado. You know, Alex Biega wasn't playing in St. Louis.
Like, no, I know that, Noodles, but I say that about goaltenders a lot where they can cover up a lot of video with saves.
Yeah.
There could be a lot of cover-up if those young defensemen weren't going out there and doing what they did last night.
I agree.
It's a team sport. It is a game. But the individual glaring errors, they're so costly. It costs them the hockey game. There's no other way around it.
Well, who do you think Keefe was talking to, though? Do you think he was talking to Biega? I don't think he cares about a message.
I think he lumped everyone in together, but I think he meant the kids that were on the back end doing what they were doing out there. He mentioned missed assignments. Who was doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Austin Matthews?
Yep.
It was them. It was not competing in the corners. It was cough-ups. It was giveaways. Now, who the hell else would he be talking about? They were glaring. Glaring.
They were.
I think you're right. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I think there are. I think he's looking at a bigger picture of pushback from guys, you know, in a physical, like, you notice it if there is a pattern. Like, what was that? That all or nothing? Do you remember, you know, in that all or nothing, whatever, special, he smelled a rat early, and he was talking about habits and what he wanted out of his team. And his team was still winning because they were a good team. He's looking at things here, and he's not liking what he sees. And it might be overall the team toughness, and that's what I'm talking about. It's not Wayne Simmonds dropping the gloves. It's compete. in certain areas. And yes, if your 21-year-old defenseman gets pushed off the puck back in your own end, it exposes, you know, a chance against and stuff. But I think there are times where, you know, you've got that third line. Are they physical? I'd like to see them more physical. Is David Camp going to run guys over?
No.
And Engvall's not going to hit anybody? Like, you know, that's the thing. Like, there are certain roles that guys are assigned. Yes, the third line scored. And I thought they were really good last night. You know, Engvall,
you're looking for two guys, anybody to run somebody over in that lineup. It's Wayne Simmonds and...
And who?
And Clifford,
Nick Ritchie.
I guess.
Clifford, Kyle Clifford. Those are the only two guys if you're
looking...
Richie, if he's playing, those are the only guys that are going to run somebody over. But
I don't think they're constructed to run people over that way. That's not the way the Toronto Maple Leafs. But that doesn't matter. I come back to the Cache model or the Bunting model. Like, Michael Bunting doesn't cheat you for effort or physicality. Guy's 150 pounds. He looks like it. I don't know. Maybe he's 185, I'm sure. He's put together. But he's not a big body. But he's involved. He's engaged. He sticks his nose in. He doesn't take a path to the puck where he's going to avoid being hit or
and
giving a hit.
That's what I'm driving at here in terms of the higher-end players. You don't need it from everyone, but Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, they're the same attitude on the ice. They're great players. Spectacular players. And those are your guys. You got to be a ride or die for you. You know, but look at the team. Look at Detroit, okay? Shanahan's the architect of all this. Yzerman was very different than Brendan Shanahan, right? Fedorov was different than Chelios on the back. Like, they had these are Hall of Famers with completely different dispositions on the ice, where every once in a while, if a brawl was breaking out, okay, get Shanny out there, right? Get these guys out there. If you need a goal late, 6-on-5, throw Larionov out, Fedorov, Yzerman. The Leafs, you know, they're big boys. They all have the same approach, which I don't know if that's going to be an issue in the end, but if they fail again, I think that that's something that will likely be driven home, is that if you get an opposition that is just going to lean on you and be physical and be heavy, and it's not going to be easy and there's not going to be space, can those guys change who they are? Are those guys capable of saying, we're not taking this anymore? And I wonder if that's kind of what Keefe was laying on the line last night, as much as it wasn't directly their issue, because it was Dermott had a really tough night. Biega had a bad night. Lilligren, they all had a bad night. I mean, everyone saw it. They know it. The veterans know it. But I wonder if he's like, when you see that going on, and it's 3-3 snap, you know, like push back and dominate and take over, and it just felt like,
well, they've all been around for 5 years now, Hayes. And Tavares has been around for 10. If you're looking for some kind of snap and
it's not going to happen,
physical pushback, it's not going to happen. That's what these guys are skilled, and they're putting their money on the skill being elite and better than others and dominating in the playoffs. Correct?
Yes.
There's not that element. And of course, this year, you would think this year, if it doesn't work again, obviously they would have to flip the makeup of it. You would think. But I, honestly, guys, I think this is a bit of an overreaction if we're going to go with a team with this record and defensemen doing the job they did last night, and now we're going Joe from the Bridge where it's lumped in and the makeup of the team is all jacked up. I think it's too much. And I can fly off the handle worse than anyone.
Yeah,
you can't win with those guys doing what they were doing in their own end last night.
I agree with you because you know, we say it all the time. You get a couple saves here or there, it saves everyone from, like, if Jack Campbell stands on his head last night and they win, you know, 3-2, we're not talking about the physicality of this group or softness or something like that. You know, but I think what the overarching concern or at least talking point is, this is a team that starts really sharp, like, and starts quick. 4 out of 5 games, they're up multiple goals and feeling good about their game. You know, at some point the other team is going to have a pushback and try and get back into the game. They've been allowed to do that in 4 of the last 5 games. Mm-hmm. That might be something that Sheldon's saying, all right, I'm going to say something here to this group and see if I get a response, because it's not acceptable to be giving up leads. But, you know, on the flip side, they're getting the leads because they're starting on time. They're doing well. Like last night, they were out shooting the Rangers 7-0, and they're up 2-0.
Flying.
That's a hell of a
start. Marner gets a power play goal.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of positives. But the Rangers coming off a long road trip, they were sleepy. And you could see they got their legs going. They got stronger as the game went on. And to me, the Rangers implemented the game they wanted to play, which was a little bit more physical. They recognized on the whiteboard what the Leafs had on the back end and said, there's our pressure point.
Get to the front of the net and win battles.
We're going to turn pucks over. We're going to get pucks to the front of the net and win. And it may not have been the prettiest, but they found a way to do it.
Right.
You know, you're right. Oh, it's not overreaction. I think Sheldon's just trying to send a message to make sure, hey, let's nip this in the butt here. Play a little harder in certain situations.
It's like if Hazy B's microphone wasn't working and we did a show with his mic not working. Would we say the chemistry stinks? The show's got to go back to the drawing board? No. Hazy nope. B's mic's not working. That's the problem for that particular show.
Right, but there's a micro and a macro to every conversation, and I think that's what we're doing here.
Right.
The micro last night, oh, you're hitting the nail right on the head. Like, I thought, I didn't think the Leafs played poorly last night. I didn't walk away from that saying they were awful and they got, it was defensive breakdowns. I thought the Matthews goal should have counted. They were still down two at that point, but still, you're in the game. You know, it's not like they had a lead, but I didn't think they played poorly. I think on a micro level, you look at the second and third pairing, couple of real breakdowns on the back end. Campbell, a couple of big stops that he didn't have where Shesterkin did, right? Shesterkin made some unbelievable stops once he gave up the first three. Micro, that's it. Macro, though, is where what we've been discussing all year in this other lane of this Maple Leaf conversation, which is their 5 years of playoff misses and failures, and what's going to be in front of them once they get to the playoffs, because that's where they're going. And the fact is, when the head coach, who's very aware of this market, of his team's reputation, when he uses a word like soft, that's going to trigger people.
It is
because
going to trigger people.
That's been an issue for them. Whether it's mental or physical, it's been soft, right? Like, you're up 3-1 against Montreal. Matthews and Marner, your two best players, disappeared. That's, I don't know if that's soft in the moment, physically, mentally, but that's a concern, right? Game 5 against Columbus, they didn't show up. Game 7 the year before against Boston, didn't show up. Like, in the biggest moments, and, you know, January 20th or whatever it was in New York is not the biggest moment. But at some point, they're going to get to the biggest moment again. And are they going to prove that they've learned anything, or are they going to break through it? Because that, I think, is going to be the issue, right? Like, I don't picture a scenario where they just face some team that is so much better than them. It's not going to happen. There isn't a team in this league that is so much better than them that you're like, they're going to get swept or losing five. Right? If they show up and play their game, they're going to have a series with someone. And it's likely going to come down to a game 6 or a game 7, and who's up for the moment? Who's got it? You know, who's going to go out there and say, we're not losing? And I know that's an intangible, and people are going to roll their eyes and say, you can't define that, and look at expected goals and all that garbage. That's sports in a nutshell in the biggest moment. Like, it's going to happen. And I think that's what he's driving at, and that's what he's trying to make sure that they're prepared for that.
Well, and sometimes
it's coming, man. They're going to be in a game 6 or 7 against Florida or Tampa or Boston or whatever. Let's go. What do you got? Who's stepping up? And it's going to have to be the big boys that do it.
And sometimes coaches use opportunities like this to send a message for the big picture. Like, you know, they're not even halfway through the season here.
No, and they're rocking. They're going to the playoffs.
And Sheldon Keefe is saying, I want to make sure that everyone's on notice that we still need to play harder in certain situations. We're too soft to play against. It's easy. He wasn't just pointing his finger at young defensemen last night. I think he was pointing his finger at, you know, certain loose puck battles where he would have liked to seen more pushback. And you know, it's easy. That's in the video room, because you do have to do video after a loss. If they win last night, I don't think you're picking apart a play here or there. But, you know, a 2-2-1, it was a tough road trip. And, you know, ultimately you're coming home. You're hopefully going to get some players back, too. I don't know what Muzzin's concussion situation is. But
yeah, there's no real updates on that.
The one thing that we can talk about, you certainly notice the depth when it's not there. Correct? Like, you know, Jake Muzzin is a really good second pairing defenseman. I know he hasn't had his best season, but he's still a very, very good defenseman for what he needs to do, because he brings a different dynamic to that defensive core, because he's heavy and he hits and he wears people down.
And you know what? It doesn't even necessarily need to, I know we got a break, but it doesn't need to be crushing guys like Josh Manson in the corner. Playing against, you mentioned Detroit Hayes, playing against Nick Lidstrom and Brian Rafalski when he was there and Larry Murphy, they didn't go in there and knock you out.
No.
But you know what? They know they were smart positionally, and they didn't allow stupid breakdowns like what happened last night. And it's just, it takes away momentum. It's the same as a guy going in there like Scott Stevens and knocking you on the ass. Nick Lidstrom would intercept a little give-and-go pass in the own zone, and they go out, and it would just suck the momentum out of the air, just like a big hit. So right. If it's not going to be one, it's got to be the other. And last night, there was zero. Go to commercial.
All right. Yeah, I think it's safe to say Biega, Dermott, and Liljegren, not exactly Murphy, Lidstrom, and Rafalski.
Did I say Rafalski?
Mike Johnson still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so we got some more audio from the postgame last night. Jack Campbell talking about his game. Mitch Marner talking about his stats and the focus on it all. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Mike Johnson will join us. It's a big one in Edmonton tonight, man. Ooh, is it a big one in Edmonton with Florida in town? And I'm looking
forward to
seeing
the top could come off, Hazy. The top could come off because the Panthers, we mentioned it yesterday, they're dummying people, like for fun. It's 4-1, 5-1, 7-2. They like dummy teams.
Yeah.
And they've been doing a whole lot of it. And I don't know, it could get greasy there if things don't work out well.
I haven't seen who's starting for Florida tonight.
I would imagine it's Bob.
Probably Bobrovsky.
Spencer Knight played the other night in Edmonton.
Right.
In Calgary.
Got beat up pretty badly.
He did. I mean, Koskinen's the only guy. It sounds like Hyman's not playing his COVID list, eh?
Right. They're dealing with that. And in Vancouver, Demko and Miller are both tested positive today. So,
man, oh, man.
That's, you know, it's still lurking, clearly. And I guess what I was getting to with Florida is if Bob plays tonight, let's say Edmonton just has a great game and he stands on his head, because you're just not in a position for moral victories. You can't lose 2-1 tonight and have 48 shots and Bobrovsky put forth an unbelievable game. You can't have it.
Dude, it's kind of non-negotiable. They just need 2 points. Like, they have to come out there and sit in front of our boy Matheson with a victory.
Well, look at the board. Joe from the Bridge is just trolling
people. He's on fire.
I love it.
No, he's on fire today.
He's absolutely on fire now, because the Habs won last night. They're ahead of the Oilers since December 2nd for winning percentage. The Oilers are dead last in the league, winning percentage.
Well, they got to figure out. I don't have great confidence they win. I think Dreisaitl and McDavid will put a show on, but we'll see. I mean, Florida's arguably the best team in the league. Mm-hmm. They're that deep. They got great goaltending. Think about the Russian goaltending. That's just Shesterkin. He's
man,
a
was
star.
He good last night? Yeah,
but he's good like that every night. Like, he's that good. And Vasilevsky and Bobrovsky. Can you imagine Team Russia, if they're in the Olympics, they have to choose between those three?
Well, that's a good question, because it might come down to the politics,
right?
You know, with the way that it usually operates over there. Like, Vasilevsky should get it. Like, he would be the guy that I would choose. But to your point, it might be Bobrovsky if he's gone back and played the World Championships or something like that.
You Noodles know, has been saying a long time that Shesterkin's his guy. He kind of likes him. He likes his fundamentals and everything. A couple of weeks ago, I sent him a text. I'm like, man, I like that Shesterkin, too. He was really good last night. He goes, that's great and everything, but he didn't play last night. It was the other guy, Georgiev.
It was Georgiev.
Georgiev.
I was like, yeah, but I mean,
okay, we'll chat later, bud.
Yeah. Either way, but you did say something cool. I know we got to get to Graham. You said something cool. Can you imagine the Rangers go from 15 years of Lundqvist to probably 15 years of Shesterkin?
Like, that's outrageous. That's 30 years.
That's Favre to Rogers.
That's Favre to Rogers.
What
exactly.
The Packers have had. It's just you're dialed in for sure.
Wow.
The old Bob Hope Classic, the American Express, is officially underway. And Patrick Cantlay, 7-under through 9 holes.
Dude, he's on fire.
Yeah. That was, he's an unbelievable player. Here's our buddy Graham DeLette. What's happening, Graham?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. This is a track you've played before. I'm always curious if pros like playing courses they can carve up. In other words, you're looking at 25 under on the week, 27 under possibly. Is that something you look forward to, or would you prefer to be challenged more?
It really depends on the type of player. Like, I only played that tournament probably two or three times, and it was mostly because it's not, doesn't really fit my style. Like, I mean, it comes down to basically a putting contest out there. Like, everyone can kind of get to most of the par fives and two. Everyone's hitting wedges in, and it's, you know, dialed in for the guys who putt well and the guys who wedge it well. And, you know, for me, I always play better on, you know, a place like Riviera where 10 under wins, where you got to golf your ball and you can't fake it around. Like, you can scrape it around a couple of those golf courses, especially the Nicklaus golf course, and, you know, get up and down and make a few putts. You can shoot 7 under and not even be in control, where if you do that at a place like Riviera, you're packing your bags on Friday afternoon. So it depends on the type of player. It definitely becomes a putting contest out there.
So we were talking about Kevin Kisner last week, how he kind of just goes to these tournaments like the Sony, what is the one in Houston where it's really short?
You're not talking about Colonial.
The Colonial, yeah.
Colonial.
So what?
So
what does he do? Does he just look at the sked and look at the yardages, of course, and say that's what I'm picking, that's where I'm going? Like, sooner or later, he's got to show up at some big tracks, doesn't he? Or how does a tour pro go about doing that?
Yeah, for sure. But everyone knows, like, internally, if a course suits them or not. Like, I mean, and like for him, you know, he's not one of the longer players, but, you know, he's so good with his putter, and he believes in himself, and he believes that he can beat anyone, especially on, you know, short golf courses like that. But there's definitely probably a few weeks a year, like Hilton Head, Colonial, Sony, Palm Springs, where he's licking his chops, and, you know, that's where you try to make the majority of your bread. And then, you know, the rest of the week or the rest of the year, you kind of pick and choose, and you're still going to play well from time to time on courses that don't suit you. But yeah, like, I mean, guys know, you know, when they're picking their schedule at the start of the year, like, this is where I have a good chance, this is where I have a good chance, this is where I have a good chance. I'm skipping this week because I can't get to any of these par fours and two, and then I'll be back the following week type of thing.
Yeah, I wish I could do that with courses around Toronto. Like, just find something you're dialed in at, show up, play it as much as possible. But although I just like to play, period, up here. It's, what is it, January 20th? We're not even close.
Yeah, I saw you guys got a bunch of snow, eh?
Yeah, it was pretty ugly here. It's been pretty ugly all week. It's cold, icy. It's all good. We got golf up on TV. The Leafs are playing. The Raptors are playing. We're chatting with Graham Dillette. What's your bet of the week? I know you're probably looking at the NFL board, four big games. Do you have anything in mind that helped the O-Dog out?
Can't use, no, you can't use the info, but let's just see where his headspace is at.
I like San Francisco. 6 points, I think, is a lot the way that they're playing right now. I love Tampa. How do you bet against Tom Brady? I mean, what's that line, 2.5 or 3? Like, yeah. But that's one of those ones that's kind of scary because it just seems too easy. So, then what else do we got? The Bills. I like the Bills. I like the Bills money line.
Take
a little shot there.
I like it too. If you're gonna bet it, play the money line. It's the spread's like 2.5.
Well.
Yeah,
exactly.
Might as well get crazy. I'm with you on that. I'm with you.
They're not playing to lose by one.
No.
And then we got the Flames Oil Battle Alberta on Saturday night. I'll be tuning into that. It's actually my 40th birthday on Saturday, so
wow.
I'd like a win out of those Calgary Flames for sure.
Yeah, they're in it, man. That Alberta hockey is not going so well, man. The Oilers are struggling.
No, it's not.
No. What's your read?
I don't
on
mind
the situation?
Seeing the blue and orange struggle, though.
No kidding.
Not one bit.
No. I wouldn't think you would. But, yeah, it's been ugly out there. Although the Flames, they got a big win a couple of nights ago. I think the Flames will settle in.
Yeah, like, why are people lumping the Flames in with the Oilers? Haven't they just, like, played only a handful of games since the new year? Like, I can't for the life of me figure out why they get...
Through Florida and Carolina, they got smoked. And
yeah.
I think that's
that was a tough
stood
little
out.
Trip. But who doesn't go down there and get spanked? You know, Tampa, Florida, Carolina, that's a tough little stretch on the road in 4 days.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Noodles, you could probably speak to it better than we can, the panic level out there, but I don't know. I think Carolina will figure – or Calgary will settle in here. Edmonton is the team that people are focused on up here, Graham. I mean, I'm sure you're aware of what's happening.
Yeah.
People are freaking out in Edmonton.
Yeah.
Everything's about McDavid and Draisaitl, and do they have enough to get over the top? But it's not a good scene out there.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's not.
Did you ever have a guy like Draisaitl was with Matheson? I don't know if you saw the exchange, Graham.
Yeah, I did.
Did you ever have a guy like after a round just rubbed you the wrong way and you just told him to go stuff it? Oh, really? How would the
I'm
golf
not gonna
version
mention
of
any
it?
Names, but there's definitely a couple for sure. But you know how it is. I mean, they're trying to do their job.
And it's tough for, you know, like, I mean, the good thing for me, the only time that if I ever played poorly that I was getting interviewed after a round is the Canadian Open. You know, I'm not Tiger Woods where every single round that they're, you know, putting under a microscope or whatever. So the only time I ever really had to answer tough questions was the Canadian Open, and I never really played well there. And and it was kind of just always the same questions. When will a Canadian win, and what needs to happen, and this and that. But yeah, like normally if I shoot 74, you know, if I'm in Houston and shoot 74, nobody wants to talk to me. So it's pretty easy for me.
Right.
Was it the Canadian Open you mentioned? Was the nerves different? Did you kind of feel the pressure to break through and be that guy? Is that why?
You always wanted to play better there. And I think that all the guys just try too hard that week, because they obviously there's a lot of pride, and you want to play well in your national championship, but then also just to break this monotony of, or the verbiage of, you know, Pat Fletcher, 1954, no Canadians won. And it's like, we're all very aware of it. And hopefully sooner than later, I mean, there's some guys playing some great golf, Canadians right now. So I hope it will eventually end, but it is tough. And that's a tough week just in general for a Canadian, because you're not used to all the media attention, like Tiger and like Rory. I don't know how those guys do it every single week, and they're just like questions into the press room. And you know, it's different for us because we're not used to that. And you get to the Canadian Open, and all of a sudden you're kind of one of the stars, and you got a lot more on your plate throughout the week, and it's more than just golf. And you know, you usually have some ambassador type stuff that you have to go out for, you know, whether it's meals or play an extra pro-am or whatever it is. And it's just a different week, and you're not really in your groove as much as you normally are when you're just on the road playing a regular event.
We're chatting with Graham Dillette. Yeah, I'm hopeful this year, the Canadian Open, I mean, it's been hit so hard with COVID, missing a couple of years, and they're back, and at St. George's, and there are different part of the schedule for the last couple of years. And I mean, when Rory won it in Hamilton a few years ago, that was just a great tournament, like an awesome, awesome tournament. I feel like the Canadian Open is on the brink of just exploding again. You know, I don't know if it'll get back to where it was when Nicklaus and Palmer and the boys were there every single year, but it's, I think it's in a good spot. Are you hoping for that?
The change in the schedule is huge. I mean, like, there's, you know, it used to be Open Championship, then you come over, play Canada, and then it was Akron, which was the World Golf, and then the PGA Championship. Well, if you're one of the big players in the world, which of those are you taking off? It's no disrespect to the Canadian Open, and it's a national championship, and guys love the setup because it's, you know, it plays tough. It's not really like a regular tour event. Usually, you know, they set it up not quite like a U.S. Open, but it's a more difficult test most of the time. And guys like playing that, but I mean, if you're going to take one off, you're not going to take off guaranteed money in a WGC, and you're not going to take off a major. So that's it. It fell in a real bad spot there for a while. So I think that's the biggest thing. And with RBC continuing to step up, I think that it's huge, and it still has potential to, like you said, become one of the, you know, marquee events, or maybe just below, you know, the majors and the WGCs.
Graham, before we get you out of here, you mentioned some of your picks or thoughts on the football. Do you have one in particular that sticks out as kind of what I call a auto lock? Anything jumping?
I love San Francisco.
San Fran taking the points at Lambeau. Okay.
I can't get over it. I just can't. I don't know why.
Dude, we're calling you Monday at 4:03 p.m. if they blow it.
Yeah, I can. Sounds I love good, the man. Pack. Love it. Love it. Yeah. All right, buddy. Well, good luck with those, and enjoy the weekend. We'll do it again soon, and happy birthday this weekend as well. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yep. Go Flames, Battle Alberta.
You got it. There he is, our buddy Graham Dillette, PGA golfer, TSN golf analyst. Loves the Flames, loves the Niners. That's a little bit off-putting for me. You know, the Packers are coming off a bye. They're getting – Randall Cobb is coming back. Bakhtiari might play for the first time in over a year.
Bosa's out, isn't he?
I haven't seen an update on Bosa because that was a concussion, and that's a good question.
I guarantee he plays. Yeah, I guarantee he plays. In the NFL, I'm not trying to stir up the thing, but they play.
I'm pretty sure he's been practicing. I think he's – I'm assuming he's playing. We'll see what happens there. But let me – yeah, it says here what I'm seeing, Nick Bosa practices. That was yesterday. Like, concussions – It's like COVID in the NFL now. It doesn't. We don't.
He probably
don't
told
that.
The trainer he'd stuff him in a garbage can if he asked him if he was okay again.
Yeah, like for him to leave the game and not return means
must
it was
serious.
Serious.
That guy's an animal.
An animal. And for like 4 days later, be one like in the NFL too. Guys not practicing doesn't mean anything. This guy's practicing. We're talking about practice. You know. If he just didn't look at the – if he never showed up at the facility again and just got on the plane and flew to Lambeau, he'd play every snap.
Yeah, like, but sometimes those practices aren't pads or
no,
walk
they
kind
be.
Of through the walk-through type things. So he could literally just be walking around a football field positioning. Who knows?
Right. But right. The point being is he could also miss that and it wouldn't be a big issue.
Correct.
You know, it's not going to be overly complex. Nick Bosa's chasing Aaron Rodgers around. That's the plan. Go chase him. Go get him. Go hit him. Cause havoc. That's what they're hoping for. So, right. Yeah, that line is I'm seeing 5.5. The Packers still at 5.5. But we'll find that out. Al's brother, I'm sure, was listening to that tremendous information. And
yes.
We'll see who ends up picking that game tomorrow. I prefer not to. You know how I feel. I don't like picking for or against the Packers. It changes the whole complexion of the game. I prefer you guys to have that pick. But I'm sure the grappler will do his hat shuffle again tomorrow. And we'll find out.
Yeah, a 3-minute hap shuffle. He'll be he wants airtime. We'll get.
Oh, it's going to be 10-minute video tomorrow. I think every week it expands.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be props tomorrow. He'll be in a suit. It'll be great.
Needs to be in a suit. I agree.
Yeah, it's got to be professional. Let's do it for real. So we'll get to the draw and the picks tomorrow. Al's brother will join us. Mike Johnson at 20 minutes. More on what Sheldon Keefe had to say post game. Nick Nurse with some interesting comments post-game as well, as the Raps lose again last night in a tight game on the road against a good team. We'll get into that more coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. So we just had Graham Dillette on. He loves the Niners to cover, and he loves the Bucks to win outright and cover as well. And we'll get into this with Luke Wilson later, but I think it was Rob Ninkovich who was pumping the tires of Tom Brady retiring this year. And I just, to steal a phrase from Al's brother, I just don't see it happening. The guy is going to finish second in MVP vote. You got to get the cat out of there. I can't operate like this.
Dude,
you're staring right
at
its ass. Like,
yeah,
get it out of there. Give it a swat or something.
Out.
Like, get it out of there.
Dude, I had to keep the cat because me and the cat are having a connection. He's been scared of me ever since he's came to the house. And lately, we've been starting to gel. I couldn't say Fred take a lap, which I would have done with the other one because we've been recently engaging.
You're having
engaging.
Issues with Fred. You and Fred are not on the same page.
Dude, every time, like, he'll say hi in the morning, and then the rest of the day he'll run away like I have some kind of chainsaw. Like, scared, and he just runs. But lately, it's been working out.
So what, explain to me the interaction of a cat owner and a cat. Like, what are you looking for from Fred? Like, what if that's just Fred? Like, he's doing his own
thing.
That
is Fred. Here's the thing.
So what's the problem?
Fred and my wife are like best friends. He goes and lies on the bed with my wife, and they cuddle, and they have naps together. And the other guy is my buddy. So me and him are tight. We watch TV. He lies on the chest. We do a snuggle.
Yeah.
But the other guy, it doesn't work both ways. Like, Hank, the older one, doesn't hang out with my wife, and Fred doesn't hang out with me.
What
but
about
lately,
Hank and Fred? Are they close, or do they not like
each
other?
Yeah, they're best friends. They're best friends.
Oh, okay. So you two are the issue, not Hank and Fred.
Dude, they're just cats. They're different, man. They're not like dogs where they lick your face and they whatever.
Yeah, just I don't know.
They're different, man.
Okay. Well,
they could ignore you. Like, they cats don't need your love. Like,
they
beg for their
thing.
Love.
Yeah, they do their own thing. They battle through. Like that reporter down in West Virginia who got hit by a car during the live report.
I'm laughing because I'm happy.
She's okay.
That had to
She's
have
fine.
Been staged. That's staged. It's staged because the guy on the desk was just like, oh, yeah, good little run over there. How's it going?
Do we have time to play it, Mullen? I don't know how close we are to.
Yeah, it's pretty
okay,
tight,
let's play it here. It's quick. We got to play it. This is a live report. I guess it's Bedlam down in West Virginia with the weather and all that. This is what happened last night.
And now we're starting to experience, unfortunately, in freeze-thaw, we see this, water main breaks.
I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay, Tim.
That's first for you on TV, Jory.
We're all good. I'm okay. Yeah, you know, that's live TV for you. It's all good. I actually got hit by a car in college, too, just like that.
Wow.
I am so glad I'm okay.
Yeah.
You're okay. You're okay. We're all good. This is, you know what? It's, one
sure
woman
you're
band.
Okay, Tori?
We're good, Tim.
Okay. Yeah, he is a... awful at showing any emotion.
Yeah, he's got no emotion. Like, I was waiting for the Sam Rosen or something like
that.
Yeah,
like
oh,
liven up a little bit. That I understand why the conspiracy theory would be that it's fake, because that guy has no pulse. Like, smarten up. Yeah, what are you doing down there? That's a colleague that just got buried. But it did look like she went into that camera pretty hard. Like, she got hit pretty hard, and then she claimed she had the same thing happen to her in college.
Yeah.
Which
where did she set up in
impossible.
The middle of the like? First of all, like nobody's bizarre. Talking about the person who actually just ran somebody over on the sidewalk or wherever.
That's the question.
Where
the hell was that a hit and run? Like, did that guy
well,
stop?
No, the no, it was a lady. You can hear the lady going, "Oh my God, are you okay?" Like,
okay, then maybe
I
it was
think
real.
They. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it was
it,
real.
It just, it's
no,
not
that,
good.
She got hit. Like that's
she
that's
got
close.
Hit hard.
That's close.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy just needs to smart. That's brutal. That's brutal yeah. anchoring from whoever that guy is down in West Virginia.
No reaction.
Well, what was he supposed to do? Say, watch out for the car?
Well, if you're doing a live hit or Al's brother and he gets hit by a car, I think we would have a little more life. I'd get on the phone and say, is this real? I'd be freaking. I'd be like, that's our colleague that just got buried.
Al's that's why I think it's staged because he was just like, oh, wow, that happened to you in university too.
Yeah,
I think it's staged.
It is weird that he had no reaction. All right, we'll get into the Brady retirement conspiracy theory. Back into the Leafs, back into the Raptors last night. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.